Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Dr. Bo Bruce.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Our gospel passage today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come a long way. And his disciples answered him, How can one feed these men with bread here in the desert? And he asked them, How many loaves have you? They said, 7. And he commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves. And having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the crowd. And they set them before the crowd, and they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he commanded that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away, and immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. It's the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So perhaps you've been out sometime lugging some heavy stuff around. Maybe you have your hands full, and this happens a lot more now that I have a baby. And someone asks you, would you like some help? And if you're like me, you often just keep juggling everything around and say, no, I'm fine, thanks. Maybe you go take it even so far that you're like the old joke that people tell about the folks who drown on the ship as it's going down, because when the helicopter comes, they refuse help, saying, God will help us. So how do you react when people give you unsolicited help? Because here in today's gospel, we see 4,000 people who have not asked for any help receive food from our Lord because he was compassionate upon them. He realized that they were hungry and needed something, but none of them were asking for any help. Well, we also need to take this story in its relevance in the context of everything else around it. And so let's see if we can gain a little more comprehension about this story by some other aspects in the Bible here. First, let's ask, why would the Holy Fathers choose to put this reading where it is in the lectionary after the one we had last week? Well, last week, as you recall, we discussed a large portion of the Sermon on the Mount. We didn't talk about it much last week, but here's Jesus on the mountaintop delivering a new law, a new way of being, a new Christian way of the law that supersedes, in a way, the Ten Commandments. And now we have the story about people in the wilderness who are hungry and need to be fed. I hope that sounds a little familiar, because it is part of the Exodus story as well. But the story in Exodus is a little bit different, right? You find that in chapter 16 here. This is actually before the law is given. But they just cross the Red Sea, they're out in the wilderness, wandering around, and then the whole congregation of the people of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness and said to them, would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, because there we sat by the flesh pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron go back to the people and say, when you grumble against us, you're grumbling against the Lord. And yet the Lord feeds them with manna for 40 years in the desert. The second parallel that we can think about in this story is the fact that this is not the only feeding of a multitude. As you know, there's another story where 5,000 people were fed, and we find it just before this in Mark, a couple of chapters before in chapter 6. So let's read that story, see what the differences are. So this feeding of the 5,000 takes place in the context of the disciples having just been sent out by Jesus, again, not taking their cloak, not taking any food with them. They've just heard that John the Baptist has been beheaded. They are feeling very tired, very sad, very upset. But they come back to Jesus. They tell him all that they've been doing. And he says, you know, let's get out of here. We need to go relax some in a lonely place and rest. Because people were just coming everywhere around them, coming, going. They didn't have any chance even to eat themselves. So they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves. But the problem is, Jesus was so well known, they saw him going, and people ran around the lake that they were traveling across to get there before they even got there by boat. And so they landed, and there's all these people there. And here it says again, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a lonely place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the country and villages around about and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread to give them to eat? And he said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And then he commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. So you might first ask, well, this story is awfully similar to the other story. I mean, why is Mark including the second story in here? Well, I don't think it's just to prove that Jesus can do it twice. They didn't have a lot of space when they were writing. This story is included. Both of the feedings are in Matthew and Mark, but only the feeding of the 5,000 is found in the other two Gospels. So there must be a reason he thought it was important to include both of these stories, even though they have quite a bit of similarity. Now, they both do occur in the wilderness. I find it a little interesting that the disciples are grumbling a little bit in this one. They want Jesus to send the folks away. And I think that's also interesting because one of the differences we see here is the difference between the number of baskets that were taken up. There are 12 in this story that we just had, and there are 7 in our gospel passage today. The other thing that if you read a little bit beside these two texts is you find out that most likely this feeding of the 5,000 happened in Judea, and these were Jews that had come to listen to Jesus. And again, the 12 probably represents the tribes of Israel, right? Whereas the second story happens when they had just come out of the Decapolis, which is the 10 cities. These 10 cities they're all spread over the region of Judea, but they were hotbeds of Roman and Greek culture. And so it's very likely that the people who came to the second feeding were mostly Gentiles. And there we have this number 7, which we know represents fullness or completion. And it's hard to know what is trying to be conveyed here. We're reading their mind, but I think there's something there about how now God's compassion and love is poured out upon the Gentiles and completed in Jesus Christ. The other thing we see in these stories is that when God does something, he really does it big. Not only does God feed those 9,000 people in these stories, but really with those baskets that are left over, Mark is telling us something about how Jesus is feeding everybody for all time. He's feeding all of Israel, and he's going to continue to do that, and he's got enough bread for everybody from now on in those 7 baskets in the second story. And he did this before we even had a chance to ask, much less before we even began to complain about it. It's easy as Orthodox Christians to get caught up in the doing of stuff. We like to do stuff. We really do. And doing is extremely important, as I'm going to talk about in a minute. But we can fall into the trap of believing that that's all that there is. And that's hardly the case. In fact, God is the beginning and the end. And God is the one that has been pursuing us and giving of his gifts freely. As we said last week from Romans, "For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life?" God is the one that is pursuing us and has given us everything we have, all of our existence, our very being, and we should be extraordinarily thankful for that. But that brings us back to the doing. Doing is part of our thanksgiving for the gifts we've been given. Saying thank you to God is nice and very important. But if that's all we do, it's sort of like getting a Christmas gift you didn't really want and trying to eke out that thank you and then putting it in the drawer and leaving it there to sit. And the saddest part of all this is that the gifts God gives us are beautiful gifts. They aren't some ugly Christmas sweater that might not have ever should have been sewn. So not only do we have this beautiful gift, but that gift is what makes us the very face of God, the hands and feet of Jesus to this world. And when someone asks you, "Where is God?" When someone says, "I want to believe in God, but I don't see him anywhere in this messed up world," or "Why wasn't God there when mom died, or when those children died, or when this disaster happened?" You should be able to say to them, "He's right here. Don't you see him? I'm him." Not smugly, not with pride, because then it wouldn't be true, obviously, but with humility and sincerity. For someone to be an agnostic or an atheist means they've never met a saint. For them not to be able to believe or know God means they've never met a saint. Because someone who is holy is the very face of God, the very hands and feet of Jesus. How could you not believe if you've met a saint? And so when so many people in our world are so far from God, so far that they don't even believe in God in many cases, we should ask ourselves, how are we doing in our theosis? And that gets back to how thankful we are. What are we doing to be God to those around us? And so when we leave church today, let's be thinking about whether we are saints, whether we are holy, or do we just talk the talk? Do we just say thank you and then put our gift in the drawer? Or do we truly bring that gift that God has given us to this broken and fallen world? If you aren't feeling particularly holy or you're not even sure where to start, well, again, start with remembering that you have a lot to be thankful for. And saying thank you is the beginning, but it's not the end. But start there and then go out there and show off the most awesome present you'll ever be given, God's very life and love. I want to close with a prayer that is about Thanksgiving, that's part of the evening prayers in this book that I've always liked. So let's pray. "Enable me, O my God, to return thee thanks as I ought for all thine inestimable blessings and favors. Thou hast thought of me and loved me from all eternity. Thou hast formed me out of nothing. Thou hast delivered up thy beloved Son to the ignominious death of the cross for my redemption. Thou hast made me a member of thy holy church. Thou hast preserved me from falling into the abyss of eternal misery. And when my sins had provoked thee to punish me, and thou hast graciously continued to spare me, even though I have not ceased to offend thee, what return, O my God, can I make for thine innumerable blessings, and particularly for the favors of this day? O you angels and saints, unite with me in praising the God of mercies, who is so bountiful to so unworthy a creature. Thank you, Lord. Amen."
Talks at Advent. Homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.